May I speak in the name of the God who defends the cause of the fatherless, widow and orphan, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. This week, the Health Secretary, Jeremy Hunt, castigated British society for its approach to older people, drawing on research which suggested that there are now 800,000 people in England who are chronically lonely. Yet he said, each and every lonely person has someone who could visit them and offer companionship. He called on Britain to learn from other cultures where the social contract between young and old is far stronger, doubtless drawing on his personal experience of having married into a Chinese family. It's an issue which resonates very closely with our gospel reading. Last week, as I'm sure you remember, Luke gave us the theme of gratitude and the leper. This week, we have perseverance and the character of the widow. A quick bit of background on widows, who incidentally make up a very large proportion of the elderly. While lepers may seem a strange, exotic idea to us, that of the widow is straightforward, someone whose husband has died. What is perhaps less clear to us are the implications. Why does the Bible talk so much about widows? Why is it, as the student of early Christianity quickly discovers, that looking after widows is a major dimension of pastoral ministry in the early church? Why is it that the author of the Epistle of St. James puts it like this? Religion that is pure and undefiled before God is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. Well, in ancient Israel, as in a number of societies, widows frequently end up as destitute beggars, abandoned by their families, eking out a malnourished existence until death finally claims them. If you want a sense of what the Bible is getting at and what motivates the woman of our gospel story, simply Google plight of widows in India, for example, for some pretty graphic and shocking descriptions. Widows in Jesus's time, as in modern India, were the weakest within society, often homeless and entirely dependent upon the compassion of the community. So, that's the backdrop for our persistent, not going to let it go, pain in the what's it widow of St. Luke's Gospel. She has no power, no influence over the judge. The judge clearly has no particular interest to see that justice prevails. She can't offer him a bribe. She has no powerful family connections. There is nothing, as they say, to incentivize the judge to act justly. He's under no public pressure. But one thing, and one thing only, forces him to do the right thing, albeit for entirely the wrong reasons. Her persistence, her sheer determined bloody-mindedness, and eventually, for a quiet life, he caves in. Well, my brothers and sisters in Christ, nothing has changed. The rich, the powerful, and the can't be bothered are still with us. Indeed, at times and in places, we may well be counted in their number. And sometimes to harangue and pressurize institutions and individuals into doing the right thing is our Christian duty. If you think I've expressed that rather strongly, you may note that we pass by a powerful witness to that Christian duty in this chapel, day in, day out, in the person of William Wilberforce, a man who devoted his life year in, year out, as did many others, like fellow Jonian Thomas Clarkson, to campaigning first against the transatlantic slave trade and then for the abolition of all forms of slavery. All this done in the face of relentless and concerted opposition from the powerful and indeed multinational forces. So, as the gospel makes clear, don't give up. Or more specifically, don't give up on justice. Don't give up on the better world that could be. The demands of the poor, the oppressed, and the marginalized are always and continually worth fighting for. And persistence really can win out against easy cynicism and vested interest. Not easily, not immediately, but that's persistence for you. But don't also forget to put on a smile, your best shirt, go bake a cake, and take it when you visit your aunt, uncle, or grandma. Amen.